Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Baba Batra, Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, taking a look at the second of three sections of the fifth Mishnah of the eighth Perek, again dealing with Yerusha, and continuing on the theme of the first section of the fifth Mishnah, which is Matnel Mashkatu Baturah, or should we say reorienting a Yerusha into a different direction than it was originally intended by the Torah. And now we read about the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Brucker that's been invoked already three times. So Omer ish ploni rashin makom sheish bat. Let's say a person's, now we're not talking about a matona, but he identifies someone as his yoresh, meaning this person will be yoresh me, even though there's a daughter. Or bititi rashin makom sheish ben. Or he says, my daughter will inherit from me, even though there's a son there. Lo amar klum. The statement is meaningless. Why? Again, she na mashkatu batorah. Now, Yochanan Brucker omer imamar al mishra uili yosho. If he says it about somebody who is a proper heir, which means that it's one of the daughters among daughters or one of the sons among sons, then tvarav kayamin. Then the statement is valid, and he has the right to direct the Yerusha in such a way that somebody who's anyways a yoresh will get all of it, and not necessarily just his particular section. Okay, now the first thing that the Gemara is going to point out is that there is a contradiction between the implication of the first position and the notion that somebody disagrees with Yochanan Brucker, meaning that the implication of the first position seems to be the same as Yochanan Brucker, and he doesn't seem to be disagreeing. So let's take a look. Tama da acher makom batu vatu makom bein. The reason that in the resha, meaning the first position, the reason that it was invalid is because it was an outsider and there was a daughter, or it was a daughter and there was a son, meaning this was not the proper heir, a first level heir. Ha ben bein habanim vat bein habanot. So the implication is that if it was one son among sons, or there was one of the daughters and it was only daughters, drav kaimin, it would work. So, ema seifa, look at the seifa. Rabbi Yochanan Brucker omer imamar al mishra uili yosho tvarav kayamin, haynu tanakama. So, Rabbi Yochanan Brucker's position is the same as we inferred from the tanakama. V'chi tem Yochanan Brucker filu acher makom batu vatu makom bein kamar. If you'd want to say to answer this, that Rabbi Yochanan Brucker really maintains that even an outsider could inherit, which is a little difficult considering his explicit language in the Mishnah, where it's al misha inra uili yosho. So perhaps we could interpret that as meaning even a daughter who is theoretically an heir, even though there's a son, but that won't work because Vatanya or Bishmal Benosh or Yochanan Brucker Omer, so his own son testified, Lo nechelku amba v'chachomim al acher makom batu v'and makom ben shelo mar klum. Father and the chacham did not disagree if it's an outsider or a daughter with their sons that the statement's meaningless. Alman nechelku, what did they disagree about? Al ben ben abanim v'at ben abanot. In the earlier Mishnah, we saw the position that if you give one son more than the other son, or you knock one son out, then that's not good, because that's matna mashukotu v'torah. Rabbi Yochanan Brucker says it is, as long as the one who's inheriting is a proper first-level heir. Sha'abo mer yirash, chamam lo yirash. So you can't say that Rabbi Yochanan Brucker's position is that even an outsider could be the single principal recipient. So how are we going to explain our Mishnah? So Ibaitema, one way to answer it is actually look back at what we just said. Mi dekamar lo nechleku, from the fact that Rabbi Shmuel said about his father, they didn't disagree. Listen to that language. Michlad Tanakama Sabra Nechleku. The author of our Mishnah is of the opinion that they did disagree. So in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is countering a position represented in our Mishnah, and that position is that Rabbi Yochanan Brucker did disagree and said even an outsider could inherit. That's possibility one. Ibaitema, the other possible way of saying is Kula Rabbi Yochanan Brucker here. Our entire Mishnah is Rabbi Yochanan Brucker, meaning our entire section. This is how our section should read, meaning the Mishnah that's quoted here. Ha Omer ish pol nirash ter makom sheish bat. If somebody says an outsider should inherit, and there's a daughter there, BT, tuvish makom sheish ben, or my daughter should inherit while there is a son around, lo amar klum. The implication being habat ben abanotu ben ben abanim imar yirash kol nechasav vav kayamin. The implication is that if you singled out one first level heir to get everything, it would work. Rabbi Yochanan omer, Rabbi Yochanan Brucker omer imamar mishra uili yoshot vav kayamin. So in other words, the entire mishnah is Rabbi Yochanan Brucker, and now we've solved it because indeed the implication of the resha is Rabbi Yochanan Brucker because it is. Okay, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka. We rule like Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka. V'chein Amar Rava Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka. Okay, now Amar Rava, my Talmud Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka. Where does he get this idea from that you could single out one of the first level heirs and give him everything? So Amar Kra, we have one pasuk on the page, but the first part and the second part of the pasukim will be what we look at as I bolded them both. You'll see. Vayab Yom Chilot Banav in the parsha of Nachlat Bechor. It says, on the day that he gives his inheritance to his children, he can't recognize the son of the beloved wife, who is not the Bechor, to give him the Pishnaim. He has to give it to the Bechor ben Asnua. Now, in that phrase, meaning, the Torah gave the right, l'hanchilot panav, to bequeath as he wished, which means it's not an automatic thing that he dies and it gets split up as per the Torah's direction. The Yom Hanchilo, he's active in it, but he can bequeath it like a will. So Amarle Abaye turned to Rav and said, "Ham milo yuchalav aker nafka." We actually learned it from the second half of that pasuk. Lo yuchalav aker, which means, as we'll see in a minute, he cannot recognize someone else as the Bechor. Implication is that the rest of the Nachalah he can do as he wishes. All right, so the answer is that that's needed for the particular balance that Rabbi Eliezer suggests. Rabbi Eliezer said, "What do I need that phrase, lo yuchal avaker?" In other words, one of those phrases indicates flexibility the Torah gives to the father, to who to give, and the other one indicates a hard line that he's not flexible. Shiachol, I might have thought as followed, Valodinu, think of this Kal Vachomer, Ma Pashat Shiafek Kocho. A regular son has more power than a Bechor, Shnotav Roikov Muchzak, because he inherits whatever he gets equally, whether it's Muchzak or something that comes to the state after the death of the father. Nonetheless, the Torah gave the rights of to the father to mix up the pshutim and give one less and one more, knock one out and give one everything. So Bechor, Shehura Kocho, so Bechor, who is weaker, his chelik Bechor is only in Muchzak, which means he has less of a claim on the estate. Lo kol shekein, certainly father should be able to knock him out or equate him to a pshut or give the double to somebody else. Therefore, the Torah says that the father cannot recognize somebody else as the Bechor and must give it to this one. So now let the Torah just say, why does the Torah have to say the opening line? Because again, I might have made the opposite Kal Vachomer. Uma Bechor Shehu Rakocho, Shenon Tabaroki B'Muchzak, a Bechor is weak because he doesn't get Ra'ui. Nonetheless, Amar Torah Lo Yichol Avaker, father still can't mess with his portion. Pashut Shiafekocho, a regular guy who has more strength, Shenon Tabaroki B'Muchzak, he does get Ra'ui. Lo Kol Shekein, certainly, father can't mess with it. Talmud Lomar Vayavayim Chilot Panav, meaning a Torah and Arishud Lav, Lanchil Chomishi Yirtzeh. So in other words, we need both phrases to balance it out and say, even though the Bechor is weaker because he doesn't get Ra'ui, nonetheless, his Chelek Bechor can't be touched. On the other hand, the Pshutim, who are stronger, that they get Ra'ui, nonetheless, father can give 20% here and 80% there, and he can knock this one out and give this one everything. Okay, Amar Zika, Amar Ami, Amar Chanina, Amar Rebbe, Halacha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka. Right, he stated that. Amarle Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba turned to Rabbi Zrika in Eretz Yisrael and said, "Horai Itmar." The proper reading is not that Rebbe said halacha b'mruka, but Rebbe actually paskin the Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka in a real case. V'maykem ipalgi. So what's the machloket Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Zrika? Why are they representing it differently? Mar savra halacha adifa. Rabbi Zrika says it's a stronger statement to quote Rebbe as saying halacha. Umar savra ma'as serav. And Rabbi Abba says, no, it's a more powerful statement to say Rabbi actually ruled that way in a real case. That's a better indicator of what the halacha is. And now we'll go on a tangent for the rest of this podcast about this particular topic, a very central sugya in the issue of psak. Tana Rabbanan, Ein lemedin halacha lo mipi limud v'lo mipi maaseh. You cannot make a halachic ruling based on the discussion of the Beit Midrash or based on the fact that in practice somebody ruled a certain way. Ad shemru lo halacha lemaaseh, until within the context of learning, the teacher says, this is halacha lemaaseh, the ruling in practice, meaning it's not a theoretical rule, but this is the practical ruling that we have to enforce. Because sometimes you'll have a discussion, say, yeah, theoretically it should be like that, but there's exigent circumstances that in reality today, or in this case, we don't rule that way. Right? Asha'alvim rulo halacha l'maaseh. If you ask the question, they say halacha l'maaseh, yelech v'yaseh maaseh. Then you can go and paskin based on that ruling. As long as you don't create an analogy from that ruling to something else. Now, that's the end of the braita. What does that mean? You can't create an analogy. The whole halachic system is based on analogies. This is similar in the main characteristics to that, therefore we rule the same way. So the answer is, that's only in the case of trefot, with body parts of the animal. Titanu, we have the following braita. We don't say, well, we know the ruling in this part, and that body part's similar, and therefore it should be a trefot or not a trefot based on that. Don't be surprised. You could cut an organ from one side and the animal will die, and even the same organ from a different side and it won't die. So when it comes to trefot, you really need to have a ruling on each body part from each direction, each size of the puncture, each amount missing, whatever it may be, nekuva, chaser, etc. Amar Ravasi Rabbi Yochanan. So now Ravasi turned to his Rebbe and said, Ki amar lan mar halacha hachi, when you say halacha is like this, Navid Maseh, can we go out and rule based on that? Amar lo ta'avidu adaminu halacha l'maseh. Rabbi Yochanan told his students, do not rule based on what I say until I say halacha l'maseh. And the same thing happened in Bavel. Amalu Rava, the Rapapa of Huna Bredu of Yeshua. So Rava told his two principal students, Ki ata piska dina didi lekamaychu. When you have a psak din of mine that comes to you, v'chazitu bepircha, and you see a challenge to that psak, lo tikra'u, don't tear it up and disregard it because of your challenge, ada titu lekamay, bring it to me. I'it li tama, if I have a reason that can defend against your challenge, aminalachu, I'll tell you my reason. V'ilo, if not, then hadranabi, then I'll change my mind, and I'll go back to ruling the other way. We saw Rava do that a couple of daf ago. Now, lachamita, but let's say after I've died, and you get a psak of mine, and you find a challenge, lo mikra tikra'u, umigmar nami lo tigmar mine. Don't tear it up, but also don't learn from it. Why? Lo mikra tikra'u, don't destroy it. Why? Di havi hatam, dilma havi amina l'chutama. Maybe if I were there, I'd have a reason. Maybe there's something valid here. And by the way, that means maybe somebody will come along later that will defend my position, and they'll come up with the same reason that I would have. But migmar nami lo tigrumine, but you also can't paskin based on it. Dein l'dayan, elamashe navrot. The dayan has to base his ruling on what he understands. And since, based on your understanding, there's a challenge to my ruling, so don't accept it as a ruling, at least provisionally, but do not destroy it, because maybe indeed there is an answer to it that I would have given, and maybe somebody else will come along and defend it later. Okay, we'll stop at this point. Pick up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.